Coming up on this edition of the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix podcast, we will wrap up the AT&T Byron Nelson and look ahead at this week's Dinan DeLuca Invitational. Welcome back to the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix podcast. I'm Alex Myers, and as always, I am joined by Joel Beal. Joel, first, let's talk about the AT&T Byron Nelson. Had a pretty good field, and we had a great finish with a couple big names going to a playoff.
Yeah, not the greatest in terms of aesthetics, at least with Day missing that four-footer to give Horschel the win, but it's not like Horschel backdoored into this by any means. You know, he had a bunch of clutch shots, including that 59-foot bomb, I think, on the 14th hole for birdie. Really good to see Horschel. It's funny, he definitely rubs some the wrong way with his candor, but at the same time, other pros, I think, actually find him relatively enjoyable. He definitely roots for others when he's playing with them. It just kind of shows you sometimes in golf, just being a little colorful is misconstrued as a bad thing, as being kind of a look-at-me type guy. That doesn't seem to be the case with Horschel, especially, man, once you heard the admission from Billy's wife on Monday, all the problems they've been through. So really a heartwarming story, and I mean, great for Horschel. That was a guy just, you know, 3 years ago. He was 27, winning the Tour Championship. Mm-hmm. Guys were thought, okay, he's on the precipice of something big. Hasn't really done a lot since then. But, I mean, he's 30 years old, already has four wins. You know, he clearly has the prowess to do some damage kind of going forward, including this week at Colonial. This is the course that fits him well. So, yeah, hopefully this is kind of a turning point for Horschel. Consistency has been an issue with him throughout his career, but maybe this is what really, you know, this is what springs him forward.
It's funny, at the Players on Friday, he was about to miss the cut. He walked over to the fans on the 17th hole, and they thought he was coming over to, like, play with them, be fun, and, you know. And he was coming over to scold them, actually, because someone yelled out Noonan when Vijay Singh, who was in the hunt, was about to putt. And he said, no, that's not cool. Show some respect. And he, like, yelled at the crowd. And so, again, it's like you said, like, some people that rubs the wrong way, but he was sticking up for Vijay Singh. He was sticking up for a fellow pro. He really went out of his way to do that. I actually thought it was kind of cool. So you're right. He gives off this vibe of he's a loudmouth. He says what's on his mind. Obviously, we all remember him ripping Chambers Bay, being a little critical of certain setups at other places.
Which, by the way, that Chambers Bay thing, he said what every player was thinking that week.
He did. The only thing, though, he went a little far is while it was going on, his gesticulations
little,
and everything.
He was a little demonstrative. Yeah.
But, no, I agree. He says – a lot of times he says what everybody else is saying and everything else. But, great week for him. And you mentioned four wins at age 30. I saw a stat. He only he has about the same number of starts as Ricky Fowler.
I think even
same,
less, though.
And the same wins, number of wins. Not as many top tens, but – again, I mean, four wins is certainly nothing to sneeze at. You start to get up. We always talk about that five-win mark. A guy like Tom Lehman has five career PGA Tour wins, and John Daly has five career PGA Tour wins. So
Lehman's a guy, you know, was number one in the world.
Exactly. So he's one away from that. That's pretty impressive. Again, you mentioned Tour Championship, won the FedEx Cup in 2014. So certainly a talented player, and maybe, you know, maybe he's just coming into his own. But I guess we should move on. We'll move on to this week. Before we move on, though, let's talk about Jason Day first, because we hadn't heard really anything from him this year. Obviously, he's had a very trying year. Missing a short putt. You said 4 feet. Ah, man, it looked even closer than that. That's got to hurt. But on the same token, it's got to be nice for him just to be back in
first signs of life since Riviera, really. And if you remember, I mean, you were there at Players Championship on Sunday. What did he shoot, an 80, I think?
Yeah, it was
up there. So obviously the guy's dealt with a lot off the course. Even on the course, I think it's so much has gone on this year. We forget that just last year, this is a guy who had a 7 wins and 17-event streak. Started having a little bit of back issues there at the end of the fall, which kind of transferred over earlier this year. But now it seems like his head's right a little bit. He's got a huge stretch coming up, Memorial, which he lives in Columbus, U.S. Open, a venue that really suits his skill well. This is not necessarily an open venue like others. It's relatively wide open. It's a par 72. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this is a guy who, you know, was just second PGA last year. You forget how good he is. Number four in the world, and just a couple weeks ago he was number two, and nobody talked about him. So it's good to see him back in the fold, as we mentioned a few times on this podcast. really outside of Dustin Johnson, no one's A game is better than Day's. Probably Rory McIlroy, throw him in there as well. And when he's firing all cylinders, he makes it so easy, especially with that spider putter. When he gets a putter hot, you watch out. So really nice to see him back in the fold. It's even though he not the way he wanted to end, I think we have to look at the Nelson as a really big win for him going forward.
Definitely. Okay, Dean and DeLuca Invitational. I'm glad I remembered the name this time. We'll start with the defending champ, Jordan Spieth, the Texas kid. Going back, though, to last week and the week before at the Players, Jordan Spieth has struggled. He's missed two straight cuts. He put a new putter into his bag last week, and not only was it a new putter, but he switched to a mallet putter, which is a pretty big switch. What did you make of that?
Yeah, so Spieth said he made the change because this has a sight line that's a little bit better. He's having trouble lining it up, so that was kind of really impetus there. To Spieth, he made it, said it's not that big of a deal. I mean, guys change putters every week across. It's just Spieth has had this putter for, I think, 5-6 years now, and at least on tour. So it was justified. This is a guy who last year, I believe, was first in overall putting average, second in strokes gained putting. He's falling way down this year. I think he was 39th going into last week, which caused a change. And honestly, he didn't putt that much better with it, at least especially on Friday when he missed the cut. So sometimes, yeah, he says it's a sightline thing. Honestly, sometimes guys just need a mental change for their psyche. They just need a new club in the bag. It kind of helps put some of the blame off their own game in a weird way. It is interesting. Not only missed two missed cuts, he's missed three of the last four, which is jarring for a guy that talent. In the same token, let's keep a little bit of perspective in mind. He did win already this year. He's had a couple. I think five top tens. It's not like he's totally in the tank, but it's a mini slump. Luckily, he goes to the Colonial Place where he's the defending champ. So if he doesn't get right this week, then I think the what's up with Jordan Spieth stories can really have a little bit more merit.
I understand wanting to make a change, needing to switch it up. Even we do that from time to time as amateur hackers. But when you've had that much success, in particular with one club, and this is the same thing when Tiger switched away from his putter, isn't there a point where, unless there's some, technological breakthrough that you just have to change, unless you're giving up strokes, wouldn't you just keep something that you've had so much success with?
You would think, but that's not how these guys operate. Yeah. I mean, you just brought up Ray J. Singh. This is the guy who would change putters almost weekly
after wins.
It is a little jarring.
But he wasn't a great putter. In fact, he was a bad putter.
He was.
And Jordan is a great putter.
That's what he makes his bones on. Yeah,
and this is, he's won two majors and everything else by the time he was 21. Just seems
a little early to switch. Not jarring, I should say, but it was a little surprising that he spent so much time with Cameron working to try to fit. And this is what Cameron recommended. So the fact that he stayed in the brand, I think, is telling. But at the same time, I think that's why it caught a lot of people by surprise. Because, yes, even though these guys switch a lot, Spieth is a guy who hasn't been prone to make adjustments like that, at least on the fly. So we'll see what he has this week in the bag. It was curious, but I don't think it's necessarily alarming in itself.
Okay. Let's start with our picks. Joel, go ahead first. I assume you're not taking Jordan Spieth then.
Not taking Jordan Spieth. I won't blame, again, the guy's defending champion. He has a runner-up finish at Colonial as well. But I'm actually starting off with a Colonial member, and that's Ryan Palmer, who, because of that membership, he's getting some love in a few other fantasy sectors. But it's also justified. He's had three top fives in his last five appearances here. He ranks in the top 15 in a handful of stroke gain categories, including off the tee, approach, and tee to green. Throwing a nice performance since the Masters. Had a T11 at Hilton Head, a course setup that has a lot of similarities to Colonial. I think Palmer's a nice play at a reasonable price. After such a really bad start, it's nice to see him kind of coming around. So, yeah, Ryan Palmer's a guy that has to be in your lineup this week.
I will start with Jason Duffner, who is a guy I rode last week. He had a T13. He's playing really well this year, really solid. Not a lot of top 10s, but he's finishing the top 15 almost every week. This is a course where he's played great. He had that playoff loss to Adam Scott a few years back. He had another close call a couple years before that. Colonial, obviously, it's one of the older tracks that they play. It's not a bomber's course. So, for a guy like Duffner, this is one of those weeks, I think, where he has a chance to shine. And, again, I just really like the way he's playing. And he's playing so well, but he's doing just enough to not have these high finishes where not everybody's going to be picking him this week. So I think he's a little under the radar, but I think he's one of the best value picks this week.
He's like the opposite match Kuchar. He has a really good start, and then all of a sudden he has like a bogey or two somewhere on Sunday, and he goes from like T9, T11 to just, T21, which just happened there. So, I think it's just more about having a consistent four-day stretch for Duffner. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, for a guy who – he's getting up there in age, too. He's still competing. For a guy who just a few years ago was in the top five, six players in the world, he's still there.
Is he 40 yet? He's close.
He might be 40.
Yeah. Cracking. Yeah. That is getting up there. When you're older than me, you're old. So, who do you have next?
Second guy is not an old guy. It's Bud Cauley, who we mentioned last week, and it paid off to the tune of a top five finish. It was his fourth straight top 10. He already has five on the season. So, he's played in this tournament, I think, three previous times, and has two respectable showings, at least two top 25 finishes here at Colonial. One of the few venues, as you mentioned earlier, where, it's an old course, iron accuracy is really paramount here. Judging by his standing and strokes gained approach, he ranks seventh in that category. It's certainly a calling that he can answer this week. I think you have to ride this Cauley train before his price starts heating up and people start realizing how good of a player he is. So Bud Cauley is number two for me.
And, total props to you for that pick last week. It's a little off the radar there, although you mentioned he'd been playing well, but still, that was a nice pick. So I'm up there. By the way, Jason Duffner turned 40 on March 24th, so he is 40 now.
40 club. Yeah, he still hangs out with, like, Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, he's
one
of those guys that
he's like
bridges
Wooderson
the gap.
From Days Confused. I appreciate it.
Exactly.
Same demeanor. It all lines up.
I'm going to go with another older guy then, Zach Johnson, who, normally he'd be right at the top of your list for this event. It just seems like every year you pencil Zach Johnson in for a high finish at the John Deere Classic and at Colonial. He's won here twice. He's the all-time money leader in the event. And, he's not off to a great start this year. But, again, I just think this is a chance to make an obvious pick, but who's not so obvious because he's not playing that well, if that makes any sense.
No, as we've stated thousands of times here, sometimes there's just certain venues that speak to guys.
Right.
And this especially, there's very few other courses that have this type of setup, especially that favors the shorter hitters. And if you're going to pick Zach Johnson, this would be the week to do it.
Yeah, and it's not like he's, missing cuts every week.
No.
I mean, he's making cuts. He's just not...
He's not contending.
Right, he's not winning. Zach Johnson was a guy who we could count on to win once a year. Obviously, he's won two majors. He's had a great career.
He qualifies for the Hall of Fame.
He's exactly. But, I don't know if he's, he's getting up there too. This might be the start of the decline of Zach Johnson. But still, again, on a course like this, he could certainly compete. Who's your next guy?
Next guy is Chris Kirk, who kind of in the same similar mold as Zach Johnson. This is a pick based off his past performance. He is five top 16s here in his last six appearances at Colonial. That includes a win in 2015. Also, after a spring slump, he has shown some signs of life, had a T12 of the players. Looking for more evidence, ranks in the top 30 and approaches inside 125 yards, and 11th in proximity from 150 to 175, which that's a window a lot of players find themselves in, especially with all the dog legs and tight fairways at Colonial. Bit of a wild card, but really is the sound of a wild card as you're going to get.
Yeah. My next guy is a guy who's having a great year. Another guy who another shot here or there, and we'd be talking about him having an amazing year, and that's Kevin Kisner.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two runner-ups. He's just missed his first cut of 2017 at the Wells Fargo, which was a new course for everybody. I'm not looking that much into that. The last 2 years here, he's finished in the top 10, including a T5 a couple years ago. And again, he's just one of these consistent performers. He's kind of in that Matt Kuchar mode of a lot of top tens, making a nice check every week. Kevin Kisner.
Sometimes you just got to be around. You don't necessarily have to make that late Sunday push. You just got to be around the conversation, and all of a sudden a few birdies start going your way. I'm trying to think who it was at Baltimore last year. Someone mentioned if we only had to hit irons off the tees, if all the woods were taken out, Kevin Kisner would be a guy that would win five times a year.
Wow.
And it was really bizarre because it wasn't even like unprompted. I'm trying to figure out what the context was, but that always stuck with me. This is the course where you can kind of keep the driver in the bag. So Kisner is actually a pretty sound pick this week as well.
Last pick for you?
We've mentioned him a few times, Matt Kuchar.
Oh, here we go.
Three top 11s in his past five events. not really hitting his irons particularly well this year, but he does have a T6 and a runner-up finish at Colonial in his last three appearances. I think that uses that speaks a little bit more rather than the past performance this year. I mean, let's be honest. We've seen this song and dance before. You're going to see his name Thursday. He won't appear to the final three holes on Sunday, yet in the box score, it's going to say, you know, T8. So, yep. I mean, the guy really is a national treasure for his ability to backdoor. And we mean this with all love. He's a, you know, a very charismatic guy. What did he say last week? I'm totally pulling a blank, but it was – I'm going to miss him when he's gone. He's another guy getting up there in age. So I don't know how many years left we have the Matt Kuchar experience. So I'm going to enjoy it while we have it.
Savor the Matt Kuchar experience. That's what Joel's telling you guys. I will end with a fellow Ryder Cupper. I'm picking a lot of these older guys this week. I'm really bucking the trend here. Brant Snedeker, who actually had a hand injury, withdrew from the Players Championship. Doesn't look like it was that serious. He was running around with the Ryder Cup here or there. He's going to playoff games. He's a huge Nashville Predators fan. He returned last week. He missed the cut, but the fact that he's playing back-to-back weeks indicates to me hand is okay. It's also going to be very windy this week, especially the first 3 days. We know he's a very solid player in the wind. He's had some nice showings at the Open Championship. And again, this is a course where he has – good success on here. He had a runner-up in 2015, a couple other top 20s. We all know what Brant Snedeker can do. He was off to another great start this year before this injury. So, usually does his damage at the beginning of the year. But, again, this is a course for a shorter hitter as himself with the windy conditions. I like how it sets up for him this week.
And as you mentioned, he is all on the Predators. So
maybe
there'll be a little bit of good luck there, correlation, but who knows. It's actually just nice to see a guy get so – it's funny, after his, you know, if you look on his Twitter, after his performances, even good or bad, he just kind of like, yeah, thanks everybody, really appreciate it. But I've never seen this guy get so emotional about anything as he is about this hockey team. It's wonderful, honestly.
What is going on with the NHL playoffs? I have no idea. Predators are obviously around. There are four teams left, right, I assume?
That's how the semifinals work. Yes.
Okay, I mean, are the Predators, they could win the Stanley Cup? Is this?
This is true. It is on the table. In your defense, I think you're still a little just starstruck from the Cavs losing to the Celtics the other night.
Yeah, I really am. Yeah.
I wanted to text you about it, but I was like, you know what? He's probably in mourning. Give it a day.
That was stunning.
Really was.
One of the all-time upsets in NBA playoff history, the 16-point favorites, and up 20. It's not like it came out flat and just, they were up 21 in the third quarter.
There's a chance if the Celtics win again tonight, Isaiah Thomas's house is going to be on sale. The number one pick, they're probably going to pick Fultz, the point guard.
Yeah, his legendary season is being tarnished a little, I think. But, all right, sorry, a little bitter fan there. But anyway, all right, you know, I also realized, though, we did not – none of our picks have missed four straight cuts, have they? Because that's what Billy Horschel did last week,
and then
he won. So maybe that's how we need
I looked at it for a piece today of how much momentum does help. So basically, I started with Spieth from last year, Colonial to now. So basically, every winner since.
Mm-hmm.
Took out the alternate event just because, you know, that's not, you know, a little bit of a weird thing there. But really, there are only four guys who end up winning after the missed cut the week before.
Horschel
was one. So basically, it happens 9% of the time a guy wins after a miscut. So, not exactly, you know, the people who say momentum means nothing in golf, that's not exactly true.
Okay, not exactly true.
Although, one of them, Sergio Garcia, if you do count, considering he didn't make it out of round robin play before at the match play, and then.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's tough. But, I mean, again, we have Horschel, four straight miscuts. The week before, we had Siwoo Kim, four out of five.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's been a. But
it's an aberration.
Yeah, it's an aberration. Right. But again, it does show, you know, when we make wrong picks up here,
it's not our fault.
It's not our fault. I mean, come on, what are we gonna do? It's impossible to predict. All right, well, that wraps it up for this week. Thank you for listening. Good luck in your respective fantasy leagues, and please subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't done so already. And we will be back next week. See you then.